I suppose that everybody has wondered at some time what it would be like to be perfect, to make no mistakes, to have no faults, to know everything. You know, sort of like me. But as soon as we start thinking about it, we understand how unrealistic that is, because we know it will never happen. There's a story told about an old Jewish man who dies. I'll call him Benjamin. And he stands at the pearly gates trying to get in. And he says that he has tried every day all of his life, day in and day out, to be just like Abraham, the father of his faith. And the angel at the gate looks at him and responds sadly, "Benjamin, you missed the point. God didn't create you to be the best Abraham you could be. God created you to be the best Benjamin possible. We are mere humans, and so we will never be the perfect parent, or the perfect student, or the perfect priest. All that we can do is be the best we can possibly be at whatever we do. And if we always strive to do our best, then we really won't have to worry, because that's all that God expects of us. Instead of having an unrealistic understanding of perfection, Scripture makes it a lot more attainable for us. In fact, it says to us today that becoming holy leads us to perfection. Holiness does not consist primarily of piety. It doesn't matter how many prayers you say or how big the splotch of ashes will be on your forehead this coming Wednesday. Holiness is based on a life of Christian action, because we are called to be holy as God is holy. And there are two main qualities of God's forgiveness: mercy and love. The signs of his love abound. All we have to do is look. We see the beauty of creation all around us, especially on a late February day filled with warm sunshine. We see it in our family and our friends who love and support us. We see it in the very gift of our life itself. But his greatest love is his mercy in our sinfulness. We offended God by sinning, but he was merciful in forgiving us. God sent Jesus, who died on the cross, to take away our sins. Because of that, revenge has no place in God's life, and thus it should have no place in ours. Up to the time of the Jewish law, disagreements were settled by the practice of might makes right. Justice was not important. Whoever was more powerful always had his way. For example, if someone had his sheep stolen by a neighbor, he could go out to that neighbor and kill him just to get his sheep back. But Jewish law tried to improve relationships between people. No longer could power be used indiscriminately. The law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a radical development for that time. It meant that the punishment had to fit the crime. There could only be equal retribution. So if someone stole one of your sheep, you could take only one of his, not his whole flock. And if someone punched you in the mouth and knocked out your front tooth, you could do the same to him, but no more. You couldn't cut off his arm, for example, the thing that punched you in the face. The law was meant as a protection, but it soon became a license for revenge, almost giving us a mandate to strike back. But Jesus takes us even further. He says if we want to be holy, we cannot seek revenge in any form. We must be willing to show mercy as God does to us. We must be willing to love everyone, especially those we find it most difficult to get along with. It's no big deal to love our family and our friends. We know that they're going to reciprocate our love. But Christians are called to be an example to others, to take that radical step that Jesus is talking about, to turn the other cheek and not fight back when someone attacks us or hurts us, to share with someone who has no chance of ever repaying us. We have a guide to holiness today. If we strive to be holy, then God will live within us as if we were a temple. And there's nothing better than to live with God. That's as close to perfection as we're ever going to get.